I want to know what it's like to be with a team the entire run, them win the Super Bowl. What are the hours after that like?
First of all, thanks for having me on, Chris. And it's hard to explain, man. Even today, I mean, 2 days after, still, it's surreal, this whole experience. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be around this team for a long, long time and being the radio analyst for the last 21 years. This is new territory for us because this is Philadelphia's first Super Bowl win. Though they got to the Super Bowl after the 80 season, they got to the Super Bowl after the 04 season, but this is the first time we've been able to hoist the Lombardi Trophy, and it's just, it's new territory. It's waters that I've never swam before.
Franchise, a long time. You've been with it as a player. You've been with it as an announcer. Why do you think this team was the team that got it done and not some of the other teams that were close?
I think this is the ultimate team. That's why. I think when you talk about a team sport, I think football is the ultimate team sport. And this epitomizes what a team is. Just the unselfish nature of this team, it has blown me away all season long. You pick up a guy like LeGarrette Blount, a guy who led the league in touchdowns a year before he came to Philadelphia with 18 touchdowns in the regular season, rushing touchdowns. And certainly you're not going to get as many minutes when you're playing in Philadelphia. You're not going to get as many snaps. He never once uttered a word about the fact that he's not getting the snap. And there's so many cases like that. There's so many different groups of players that you can talk about that the same type of thread goes throughout this entire team. And this team lost a lot of key people along the way. And each and every time, no matter who, the guy that goes down, there's a guy filling in for him, and that guy picking up the slack. When you lose your starting linebacker and Jordan Hicks, the guy who calls your defense, you lose a 9-time Pro Bowl at left tackle and Jason Peters, you lose a guy who's a front runner for the MVP of the league and Carson Wentz, you lose all of these guys. And against all those odds, you're still able to come up with a win in the Super Bowl. It's something special about that team, and it's hard to put into words just how special this team is.
5-time Pro Bowl receiver, former Eagles receiver, current radio analyst Mike Quick joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket. So you mentioned how important it was for Philadelphia, the Eagles franchise, to finally get this. Now, as the game is going on, you're one of the people who have to kind of play the role of fan plus analyst at the same time while the Super Bowl is going on. Like, how do you balance the role between the two, knowing how important this is to so many people, but yet not losing your mind on the broadcast?
Well, I can't say that I don't lose my mind because sometimes I do. Listen, and because I played my entire career in Philadelphia, and now I've been with the team in the booth for a while now, I stop apologizing for getting emotional during the game. But I do try and make sure that I focus on the game so I understand, you know, the chess moves that are being made throughout the course of the game. And even when I'm studying film or tape on teams, I want to look at personnel, look at the matchups that they're trying to create, so that I stay on top of, you know, the strategies that are going on in the game. And so that, because I've done that as a player, learning how to study film, I think that helps and carries over into my work as an analyst when I'm trying to break down what teams are trying to do.
Mike Quick joins us, former great Eagles wide receiver, longtime color commentator with Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio, here with Bob and Chris on Sports Radio, The Ticket on Idaho Sports Talk. Mike, as a wide receiver, I'd love to ask you the question, is a catch the same today as it was when you played, and how can the league standardize what a catch is?
Bob, I've been playing and watching this game for 100 years, and for the first time, I don't know what a catch is anymore.
Oh, boy.
Listen, when Corey Clement caught the football for the touchdown, I didn't know which way they were going to go with it. When Zach Ertz scored the touchdown and the ball popped out when he dove into the end zone, I mean, I read the rule, but I still, when it comes to interpreting the rules, I still sometimes sit there and wonder what the ruling is going to be after they look at it over and over and over.
So what should it be? I mean, yeah.
It should be, if I catch the ball and I have control of the football, it's a catch.
I mean, why?
If it gets knocked out of my hand before I really have control of it, then it's an incomplete pass.
Like, how did we get to the point where the definition is so misconstrued? Like, what happened along the way between when you played and when you were following the game? And you're still following the game, but it's completely different. Like, where and how did it change?
It changed with Herman, what's his name, played for the Detroit Lions.
The Calvin Johnson
rule? Made the catch. He made Calvin Johnson, that's who it was. I was thinking Herman Moore, but it was Calvin Johnson. It was Calvin Johnson. He goes down, and that was a catch. But because he touched the ball on the ground and wasn't concerned about the ball anymore because he had made the catch, it becomes an incomplete pass, and that's when it all started. And so now you have to write down what a catch is. You have to change the rules of what a catch is, what a catch is. And there's so many times throughout the course of the season, they're holding up games, stopping the momentum of a game, and really the interest, because they spend so much time looking at what a catch is and what a catch isn't. Just go back to when you're playing in the street or when you're playing in the park, and that rule. If you catch the ball, you control the ball, it's a catch.
Mike Quick joining us, former Eagles receiver, current radio analyst. And now on this note of, you know, this Super Bowl, it set records within three quarters of the amount of combined passing yards between the teams. You're somebody who played in the 80s, but the game is completely different now. And on that note, how the Hall of Fame class had a couple of receivers. Like, how do you evaluate and compare some of the pass catchers today to some of the ones in years past when the game is so different today than what it used to be?
Well, I think what's wrong in that whole process is just going on sheer numbers when you're looking at receivers. And though both these guys that went into the Hall of Fame as receivers, I completely agree. I think they both were great receivers, and they were dominant receivers. And regardless of who they were playing, they were superstars. Regardless of who lined up on Randy Moss, regardless of who lined up on Terrell Owens, you're going to get done that day because these guys dominated their position. I completely agree with those two guys going into the Hall of Fame, but there have been some that I didn't quite agree with. And too many times, too often now, it's just based on numbers. And because the game has changed so much, guys get targeted now, receivers, 20 times in a game or more. That was unheard of during the 80s and prior to that. That was unheard of for a guy to have 20 balls. If I'd had 20 balls thrown at me a game, it wouldn't have been fair, the numbers that I would have been able to post. And that's what's happening now. And to me, that's part of the reason why things are a little bit out of whack.
Mike Quick, appreciate the time. Enjoy the celebration that'll continue to last even beyond this week, probably all summer long. And you got a spot in the parade?
Hey, guys, I'm going to a parade on Thursday. And as I said, this is new territory for me. I've never been here, so I don't know how to act. I don't know how. There may be some inappropriate things done during the course of this, but listen, already, I'm going to say it. I'm not apologizing. I'm someplace I've never been before, so I'm going to enjoy the moment.